The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Jamie and Mark Nadeau found breadcrumbs leading to purpose in the rubble of a marriage that nearly collapsed.
Everyone's looking at you, or you think they are, with like a scarlet letter on, like, oh, she couldn't keep her husband. What? Something must have been really wrong. And you lose your identity even in the faith space too, of like posturing and like, I'm a really good Christian, and your life falls apart and you need Jesus. I needed Jesus in a different way for the first time.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent is with
Hello.
Me. And I have a question for you. Have you ever looked back on your life and thought, what was that about? Why did I have to go through that? God, why? Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to maybe give you a little perspective shift. We've got a couple of wonderful guests. Jamie and Mark Nadeau are with us, and they're going to look back and maybe help you look back on times in your life and see the fingerprints, the breadcrumbs, they call it, of God at work. Welcome to Life Today. Great to have both of you.
Thank you guys for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So I want to mention the book. This is Jamie's book, but I'm looking at this, Mark, you have been a big part of this book, have you not?
I think so.
Okay.
I think
it's so. Called This Must Be the Place. And as I referenced, she says in the subtitle, following the breadcrumbs of your past to discover your purpose today. And I want to get to some of the lessons, but can we maybe go back to your past? Because there's a lot underneath the surface of this.
Yeah. I think when you look back at your life, there's a lot of things that happen that are traumatic and sad. And so a lot of times we want to say, oh, let's put that away. That didn't.
Sure.
We don't need to think on that. We don't need to dwell on that. But I think some of the most important lessons I've learned have come out of really uncomfortable moments, really painful moments. And I want to frame a perspective for people to say that wasn't wasted. And so one of the stories you'll hear about in the book is our marriage and how that almost fell apart a long time ago. Was that 15?
About 15 years ago.
Yeah. And infidelity, and I thought I was getting a divorce. I mean, we had been married a good 2 years. I thought my life was over. I thought I had two children. I had a newborn and a toddler. And I thought, I'm just going to have to cut my losses, move forward, get a divorce, and we can't recover from this. But God really worked on my heart and said, if you'll trust me, I'm going to make a way for you. And that's definitely not my personality. I'm a sassy, kind of spicy gal that's like, well, see you later. And God said, I want you to obey me and forgive him. And I didn't know if it would work out, I'll be honest.
Right.
I mean, I still knew I needed to forgive, but that doesn't always mean reconciliation.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know if that was going to be our path, but I chose to trust God, and God worked a miracle. I mean, he worked a miracle. My husband came back and he was just a different person. And God changed both of our lives through that. My identity had to be stripped away, your identity too. Mm-hmm. And you can speak to that too, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a tough time in our marriage that God made a way for us.
Okay, that's her perspective. What was going on from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I was lost. Mm-hmm. 2 years in, lots of things going on in our lives. And really it was a small seed early on of just being off a little bit and just ignoring it. And kind of, you know, if you're off just by a small degree over time, you end up in two totally different areas of your life, right? Especially with your spouse. And so for me, it was this process of God bringing me to this point of realizing, like, you can't fix this on your own. You've destroyed it, but like, you can't fix this on your own and you need me. And so God lovingly brought me to this place of reality by using Jamie as this tangible example of God's love, of his forgiveness. And that was where I realized my need for the gospel and how it wasn't just this initial hurdle in the beginning of my walk, and now I was going to go and walk and act and talk like a Christian. It was the realization that I needed him every second of my life. And realizing like you are broken and you need Jesus. And so I think as an early believer, it was, oh, well, you're, because you're a Christian, you're immune to X, Y, and Z, and you would never do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And that really is just a lie. I mean,
and I thought I was like an A-plus Christian. Like, we go to church, we're in the small groups, we are volunteering at church, we're there all the time, and then you're not. And now you, everyone's looking at you, or you think they are, with like a scarlet letter on, like, oh, she couldn't keep her husband. What, something must have been really wrong. And you lose your identity even in the faith space too, of like posturing and like, I'm a really good Christian, and your life falls apart and you need Jesus. I needed Jesus in a different way for the first time. I needed him to help me take a shower, eat. I was real sad for a long time. And so God did individual things in our own personal walks. And then when we came back together, we were stronger.
Absolutely. I mean, what was that process of forgiveness? What did that look? I mean, because there's probably a lot of people watching today where your story is familiar to them, and they're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it might even seem impossible that God could restore. And it does start with forgiveness.
Yeah.
How do you even navigate something so painful in your life? How do you even start with forgiveness?
I mean, you do have to start with forgiveness. Like, as a believer, you are called to forgive. Like I said, it doesn't mean reconciliation all the time, but you are called to forgive. And I will say, it's not a one-time thing.
Yeah, right.
You wake up in the morning and something hits you or triggers you, or you walk past a picture. And I would put those away for a long time until I felt like God was asking me to stop and see these things that he was handing me as a gift. And I had been slapping his hand away for a long time, saying, oh, I'm not going to work on that right now, or that's too hard to forgive. And every day I looked at it as God handing me a gift and me choosing to see it for what it is. God gave this to me to look at today, and we're going to forgive this today. And then I would do that over and over and over again. It took a long time, but it got easier and easier. And soon enough, you find these things don't chase you anymore. You know, things can chase you and chase you and chase you. And I felt like I turned around and said, no, I'm dealing with this right now, and I'm going to choose to be obedient. I will trust God. I don't trust him yet.
It's okay. Yeah,
but
right.
I trust God. Wow. And that's who I'm going to put my trust in.
Okay, now that's, I was going to ask that because the hardest thing in that kind of situation is the trust. I mean, do you trust each other? And that's not something I think that a man, after breaking that trust, can put back into a woman.
Right. It takes a long time, and I think we call them trust-building exercises, where I was having to trust in God, and he was having to trust in God. And, you know, there, you still have to go on trips. He still had to do business stuff alone. And for me to say, God took care of me once, he showed me before, and he'll show me again.
Wow.
And so I could let him go in freedom without me having to be a sheriff. I don't want to be a sheriff. I don't want to live my life. And I'm sure you don't want to live your life under my thumb. Mm-mm. So, and now it's beautiful. I don't know if people really believe it. I think if you watch us enough, like together, we have a lot of fun, and even though you're not smiling right now, we have a lot of fun together, and I love him more than ever before.
Yeah, so. I know, we joke, it's like, people are like, how long have you been married? And it'll be 18, and I'll say, but it feels like 50, in an amazing way, I think it is because of that trauma we walked through. We chose to be obedient and press in and do the work individually, which allowed us to be healthier individuals when we came together. So now we get to thrive together and we get to work together. You know, it's just, it really was such a gift. Like, she was talking about that decision daily, multiple times a day, to choose forgiveness. And like, on the other end for me was, how do I receive that? And even processing through like the shame. So like early on, I'd wake up every morning and be reminded of it, right? And it was hard, like the shame and the pain, knowing the pain I've put her through, like it's hard, right? But that shame over time has now turned into joy. Like I am still reminded of it, but like I get to come on this trip with her. Like I get to wake up every morning to a house with two extra kids than what we had at the time. I get to pick my, like, there are just all these little gifts that God chooses to show us and remind us of what he has done, you know, so.
And I'm curious about that, because how does that change both of y'all's? It's got to be a little different, but both of y'all's relationship with God going through that.
Well, it's building your faith. I mean, we read stories in the Bible over and over again of how God showed up for his people. And that's what this book is. That's what our story is. We tell the story a lot, and people say, do you get sick of telling the story? Or I wonder if people get sick of hearing it, but I don't think so. It's like, we don't get sick of hearing God parting the Red Sea.
Right.
It's a miracle. And so I think just looking back on that and saying, he has shown up for us in so many ways, and in so many big ways and small ways, and we remember it. Mm-hmm. And then that means the next thing that comes up that's hard, because life doesn't stop, as you guys know. Yeah. You don't get your trauma card, or you're like, oh, I suffered and now I don't have to anymore. Things keep happening, but you remember, God showed up for me once, he'll show up for me again.
What about you?
Yeah. Absolutely. I do think there are times where we forget the power of it, because time, you know, and I think a lot like these stories, you know, you hear about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, and then how many days later they're like complaining, you know, and it's like, do you remember what just happened? Mm. But God chooses to remind us in these little sweet ways, whether it's having another couple in our living room and we're sharing the story just nonchalantly, and then you watch the impact of it. It's like, oh my God, like we do forget, but God reminds us, and it's such a restful place to be.
What did her example of God, in as far as forgiveness and wanting to redeem and restore, what did that do to show you Christ?
Yeah, I mean, I remember driving home and just processing that this my wife is saying that she forgives me, saying that she loves me still, saying that she wants to still make it work, and realizing that that is just like a moment or such a tiny example of God's grace and forgiveness and love. And so like that, trying to put those two things in perspective of like this, like her love and forgiveness for me is actually like nothing in comparison to what God's love and forgiveness is for me. So, I mean, that was just mind blowing.
I was not an angel. I mean, I yelled and screamed at him, maybe threw a couple of things across the room, but you know, it wasn't easy. I wasn't like, and I love you and forgive you always. I was also feisty, but you know, God shows up for you in your mess.
Good. I mean, thank you for admitting that, because
it was still a mess.
It's
it
always
like,
messy.
Okay,
it's
a mess.
And sometimes I think if we paint this picture that I just simply just forgave him from the get-go, and it wasn't hard, and he turned it around. It's like you said, Jamie, the truth of it, like every single day.
Yeah.
It probably took many years, and I'm sure the enemy still loves to put things in your minds, both of you guys, to pull you back or to keep you in a place, but you keep trusting, you keep living. You have such a fun marriage.
Yeah,
you really do.
It is fun.
I think laughter has been maybe a huge part of the healing in your marriage.
You have to. We have four kids. I mean, four kids, you have to laugh anyway, because you don't think, did I just have to tell you can't lick that plant? Like, there's things that you think, like, what?
She's talking to the kids, not to you.
Some people.
They're wild. So, you know, you have to laugh and enjoy each other. I mean, that's how you.
And I think, too, like, it has to get to a point to where it isn't so much about the other person, right? Like, so she had to lock eyes on Christ, and I had to lock eyes on Christ, and it was no longer dependent on how she was gonna react or what she was gonna do. I mean, I remember getting to a point of like, I may never have my wife back again. I may never see my kids again. I may lose my career, all the idols I had in my life, but I was at peace at knowing that like God was enough. And that was where God needed to bring me. Is he enough?
For you. And your intention also was to heal yourself and to heal yourself in to such a degree that you would be whole for her, for your children.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would have been no good if you were doing it for someone else other than, like, I need to get right now. For me to be, man, you guys, I love your story. I love your story. And I love this book. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about This Must Be the Place. Mm-hmm. Who did you write this book for?
Well, I wrote it because I got lost along the way. I think you can, like we were talking about identities, as a mom and a wife, like that can be your identity. And you can say, like, that's who I am. But I was something before that. And I think sometimes you get lost along the way and the world is loud and things just happen. And so in the mundane, you think, okay, this is it. And mothering and wifing is a great, great thing. But I think women especially need to be telling their stories. They need to be looking back. They need to be remembering what God has done in their life. Mm. And when you look back, it gives you these powerful tools. Like, what happened in our marriage shapes our empathy. It shapes our ministry. It's who we are and what we do now. And so those are really important things. So I like to say, like, your stop sign is sometimes your catapult. What was supposed to stop us, what was going to be used for evil and bad was used for good. And I think everyone's story can be used for good. And so I write a chapter and then I ask questions at the end of that chapter. And I think if women would take the time to reflect, first of all, you'd have a memoir, and every woman needs to write their memoir. They need to take up space and tell their story. And second, it helps you live with a huge permission slip. Live on purpose. Mm.
Yes. Yeah. Honestly, laugh out loud. Laugh out loud. The first chapter, you had me at the first word. But my favorite really is at the end of every chapter, how you do give us a lot of those questions. You get us to a place where we actually have to revisit maybe our past a little bit to be able to identify things in our life right now. Why are we doing the things we do? Why do we talk the way we talk? Why do we believe the way we believe? Mm-hmm. And you give us these treasure map words, but it's not just a book that you've written. You've really given us a tool in this book, and I'm so grateful for it. I love it.
I hope so. I hope that people can use it as a tool. I think, I mean, the stories are good, but
they're very
incredible.
Good.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but no.
She never does. I
very humble for the Lord.
Yeah. So good.
No, I love a good story.
Yes.
We all read books and we love a good story, but there's something about turning it back to the reader and saying, but what about you? Mm. You know, I want to help you see there's something to dig around in here for. Like, when you dig for treasure, you know, it's not just like, oh, we got it. You know, you have to really get in there and dig for it and look for it. And there are treasures all over your life. And so that's what I want. I want people to find those things that are already there.
Yeah. I have one more question for both of you. Actually, I'd like to hear from both of you, because there are people that are watching right now that are at that stop sign.
Yeah.
Right. And it may be a broken marriage. It may be a loss in the family. It may be a disruption in the job. It may be some sort of ongoing physical illness, whatever it is. It's that part of their life that they would rather not have. Mm-hmm. Right. What do you say to them when they're at that stop sign? They don't see it as a catapult. They just see that life is just jammed up on me.
I mean, it's like that for a bit. Mm-hmm. You don't have to rush out of your suffering or grief. It is like that for a bit. Mm-hmm. And you sit in it for a while. But I think go look at what God has done for his people in the past. You can read it in the Bible. You can read it in books like this. But look at what God has done. And look at what God has done and showed up for you in other areas of your life. And you remember that. And sometimes I ride old faith. I ride faith from yesterday or 2 years ago, and I say, he did that. Mm-hmm. And now remember that he did that.
Yeah.
Now he can do anything.
Yes.
So I think that's kind of my mantra.
I think too, like, God is there. Like, God is at that stop sign or at that roadblock or that trauma with you. Like, you're never alone. Like, he is always there, and he's always been there. He will always be there. And even moving forward. So, like, I think that's a huge thing to remember. Like, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Like, he is there. There is purpose for this. It's going to be hard, but he's there.
That's so good. You can pre-order the book.
Yeah.
This Must Be the Place. You can pick that up. It will encourage you. But there are some people right now that are at a place right now where they're probably wondering where God is. We want to tell them God is there. We want to move them past that place. And it's a place of hunger, physical hunger. I'd like you to take a look at this, and then you can see how you can be that instrument of God to help move them beyond. Watch this.
There's an African proverb that goes something like this: a mother is like a kernel crushed by problems yet strong enough to overcome. That reminds me so much of so many mothers, mothers like this, hundreds of mothers that I've engaged with all over the continent of Africa, mothers who have truly faced such challenge, such problems, and yet they are strong enough to overcome. You see that resilience and that resolve in them that says that they will overcome, overcome for their children, overcome for their families. But the reality is that for many of these mothers here in South Sudan, the problems that are crushing them are so great right now. The reality for many of these mothers is that there is no food to be found. In fact, mothers have explained to us how literally there's no corn kernels left. They've actually been taking the raw corn cobs and crushing these and feeding them to their children to eat. No nutrition in here. And in fact, that leads us to what we can do. That literally we can be God's hands and feet here in this area, that you can be God's answer to prayer and provide what's needed so that literally we can bring these mothers and their children, these villages, the food that they so desperately need, and that we can save life and then help them to sustain their lives.
Mothers are some of the strongest in the world, and I think when it comes to their children, they will do absolutely anything that they have to do. When I watch a piece like this, it really breaks my heart in such a way because they're so limited. There's not a whole lot that they have, and I think that burden is so heavy on them every single day to provide for their children, to give them life. And I think the thing I love so much about this organization and this ministry is that we can step into these places, Randy, and we can help bring life to her children. We can take off the burden from her that is so heavy. She's searching every day for food. That's what blows my mind, taking that little bit of corn. I mean, she'll do whatever she has to do, but to think that we could go in there and just relieve her of some of that, take off some of that burden.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. I mean, you've got people who are working hard, harder than most of us in the West work on a daily basis, just trying to provide food for themselves and for their children. And you know, you look at maybe violence in their region, displacement, not their fault. Floods, not their fault.
Right.
Famine, not their fault. Failed crops, not their fault. They're just in a position where they need something to get them through for maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, whatever the case is. That's why mission feeding exists, to bridge that gap where something out of the control of some wonderful, hardworking people has put them in a tough spot.
Yeah.
So 350,000 children.
Yes, exactly.
Every day. 350,000 children every day. Those children get to eat a bowl of nutritious soup mix specially formulated to meet their needs. That happens because of viewers just like you. Many of you have given in the past towards mission feeding. Many of you give on a regular basis. Some of you have never given at all. And I would invite you just to pause for a moment and say, what can I do? Is there something I can do? Because the reality is every little bit helps. Just to break it down for you real quick, $30 will help feed three children for 3 months. That gift today will go that far. $50 will feed five children. $100 will help feed 10 children for the next 3 months. Some of you could maybe give a gift of $500 or $1,000. Whatever you can do, you can help those who are in the most difficult position that they have ever been in. It is a life or death situation. That's why it's urgent that we get there with the food and do it today. If we could hear from you today, whether it's online or on the phone, we will know that we are able to go out and continue feeding, to feed more, whatever the case may be. We've got people in the field, on the ground, right now, ready to go. They just need your support. That's why, Tammy, I'm praying everybody will do anything that they can,
absolutely,
everything that they can.
Together, together we can make an enormous impact. Let's bring them some hope. Let's bring them life in the form of mission feeding. Would you do that today? Go online or go to your phone and make the best gift you possibly can. It will make a massive impact today.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you 365 days of courage. Filled with scriptures and words of encouragement, this daily devotional will give you the confidence that comes from knowing how God sees you. Take courage in Christ's love and be ready to conquer each day. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessing Framed Art. This beautiful wall art will grace your home or office and serve as a daily reminder of God's blessing and kindness over your family. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope you are going online or going to the phone, making the best gift you can. Together, we can make a huge difference. We can save lives. I really enjoyed today's program, Tammy.
I loved it. I think you did too.
Yeah.
I loved it. They are my new favorite follow on Instagram.
They have to say that we paid them.
Yes, $50. Love you guys so much. Appreciate
you,
your story. Thank you for just fighting for love.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for this book. Jamie and Mark, we've loved having you here. Can't wait to see what all happens in your life in the future.
Thank you
so much for watching, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Through scripture, what God is saying is, if you'll put me first, I can take care of everything else.
Robert Morris, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.